Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you here, and may you just have a quick praise of thanksgiving in your heart that your name is written in the book of life this morning. We've got enough bad news to go around on the outside, but we have so much more good news on the inside. So may that move us to pray for those who don't have it yet. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in meeting us all the time, Lord. Help us this morning to use these moments, Lord, to really pray as you would lead us to pray. And may your will be done right here and now, as our hearts would be right in your sight, led by your Spirit, dead to self and dead to all of our own ideas and look of me, but may it be look of you, Lord. All the way in Jesus' name. Amen. How important is God's presence in your life? How really important is it in your life? I mean, is it easy for Christians to say, oh, he's so important. Is he really? Is he really? Is his presence really that important? Well, we have a great prayer in the Bible this morning of Moses that we'll get into in just a moment. It's in Exodus 33. And God is going to reveal his presence to Moses as he hides him in the cleft of the rock. And so let's begin by singing that hymn, which was spawned out of this scripture, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. So let's sing along or listen, however you prefer.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the from wrath and make me pure.
Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no anger know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must pay.
Last week we had the incident of the rebelliousness after about 39 days or so of the children of Israel after Moses had gone up to Sinai, and he was up there 40 days. And so they asked that Aaron make them another god. And we had that tragic story of the rebellion and how they went into idolatry and how it was hard to understand that the 70 elders, which had just seen God in his presence so soon before that incident, that they would have forgotten that and turned into idolatry. But they did. God got really mad at them, was going to wipe them out, and Moses started to intercede. Well, we move on into the next chapter now, into chapter 33. And we have here the Lord giving a command to Moses, depart and go up from here, leave Sinai and go to the promised land, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt. Again, God is upset with the people, so now it seems like they're Moses' people. Not my people, but your people. And I will send my angel, he says, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, but I will not go up in your midst. Heavy, 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 heavy. I'll lead you, I'll protect you, but I will not go up with you, for you are a stiff-necked people. In a further move of somewhat of kind of leaving the people, Moses takes a tent, which is not the tabernacle, it hadn't been built yet, but this is a tent of meeting, which you could call a tabernacle. And he moves it outside the camp. It says a considerable distance outside the camp, far from the camp, called it the tabernacle of meeting. So he's going to be out there meeting with the Lord, and when he goes into the tent, everybody stands and watches, and they worship, which is good. And then when he goes into the tent, then the pillar of cloud comes and stands in front of the tent. So now the meeting place with God is outside the camp, and God has said he's not going up to the promised land with them. And so now we have Moses praying. A great intercessory prayer here for us. And it's all about the promise of God's presence. Verse 12, then Moses said to the Lord, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Notice again here in this prayer, very quickly, Moses goes to standing on the promises of God. Because God had told Moses earlier that I know you by name and you have also found grace in my sight. So now Moses turns that right around on to the Lord and says, now if I have found grace in your sight and you know me by name, now answer my prayer. It's awesome. It really is awesome. But the prayer is very pure. He doesn't want to go up. He doesn't know who this angel is going to be. He wants to know who's going to go with him. And in verse 15, he says to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. Does that really fit your life? Can you really say, and looking back, do you really live that way? If God is not with me, I'm not going. If God is not with me, I'm not going to do it. If God is not with me, I know I can't do it. But am I still going to try anyway? Moses didn't. He said, I'm not going up unless you're with me. And the Lord says, my presence will be with you and I will give you rest. What an answer to prayer so quickly. And Moses goes ahead for your glory, Lord, in a sense, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight except you go with us? How true that is. Unless people can see him in your life, how will they really know anything about him, right? How will they know that you're even his? But Moses says, except you go with us. So shall we be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth? Now, the answer to that is for us, yes. We need to be separate from the world, right? We need to be set apart, not leaving the world, not turning our back on the world, but we're different. We better be different. If we're not different, I don't think we're really even saved. Because if our life hasn't been dramatically altered by being born again, then I have to question whether I'm saved or not. Verse 17, now the Lord speaks again to Moses. I will also do this thing that you have spoken. And here he's standing on answering this promise. For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. I love the way that thread comes through this prayer, because Moses stands on the promise, Lord, you said that I had grace in your sight and you knew me by name. So then, we need you to go with us. And then God turns around and says, I'll go with you. Since I've called you by name and you know me. Beautiful, isn't it? Remember to stand on the promises of God. And Moses said, in a sense, good, but that's not enough, Lord. I want more of you. How many of you are really hungering and thirsting for more of the Lord? Moses says, please show me your glory. And God answers, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will, there's a whole bunch of I wills here, I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. The Lord continues, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord continues, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock, so it shall be while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. I was wondering a little bit earlier, God had met with Moses in verse 11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. I don't quite understand that verse when we have that we will never see God's face, but I think what it really means there, I'm talking to you as a friend, not as the prince of Egypt or not as the leader of the children of Israel. This is kind of man to man, kind of friend to friend. And that's awesome to have that relationship. So we see then that Moses will see the glory of God. But I believe that we would all agree that even as great as that must have been, it's not as good as what we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? Because with him we have acceptance, with him we have adoption, we're his, we're heirs of his kingdom forevermore. And we get to see more of what God is like through the life of Jesus than Moses could have ever seen. So we are blessed, and he has given us this same power of prayer that Moses had. And we now have access because of the price that was paid. We now have the promise that God will never leave us nor forsake us. What an awesome promise that is. Moses didn't have that promise in a way because God said, I'm not going to go with you. You won't have my presence. But I don't think that can be said for a child of God today. I think that we've been promised in the scriptures, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And even as David would say, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, I don't think that's possible for us to have the Holy Spirit to be taken away from us. Doesn't mean we can't rebel. Doesn't mean we can't sin. Doesn't mean we can't go against God. But it's on our side. If we do that, it's not on his side. So today we have the opportunity to pray, much to pray for. And above all, let's continue to pray for the lost. Let's pray for a great harvest of souls through all of the problems in the world, earthquakes and floods and fires and what have you, and they are going to continue. And this world is not a place where we want to be. We're passing through, right? We are not renegades, as was prayed for by Cain after he killed Abel, and a fugitive and a vagabond. But we are pilgrims and strangers in this land, aren't we? And it's not heaven yet, so it's a difficult time. But what an opportunity to pray for the lost. So may we pray today in that way. Father, we thank you for this prayer. We thank you for the lessons of standing on the promises. We thank you for Moses' dedication to you, for his commitment to you of insisting on your presence. And if your presence is not with him, he doesn't want to even go to the promised land. So how beautiful that is. And so, Lord, we want your presence. We know you're present everywhere. But we want to open our hearts to you. We want to open all of ourselves to you and say, abide in us, not just visit us, but abide in us. So lead us now by your Spirit as we pray, as you would lead us to pray this morning, in Jesus' name.